The Torah in this week's parsha speaks about the individual God is going to get very angry at. The person who's misbarech l'havo to say, Shalom yeli ki b'shri wusli b'elech. Everything would be good for me because I will go b'shri wusli b'. What does the word shri wusli b' mean? It's not a word that occurs elsewhere in Torah. It is a word that's found frequently in Tanakh. It's usually not a good term. It's usually shri wusli b'am hara. So Rashi says shri wusli b' means mar isli b', and he links it to a word Ashkerenu v'lo ata, ashurenu v'lo karov, in one of Bilam's last speech. And he says it means to see. It means whatever I see fit. Upa says, who really be, but it's more or less the same thing. The idea here essentially is, ish kol hayashar beina. Each person does as he or she sees fit. And this, I think, can operate really on two levels. One is what we might describe an ideological issue, which is a lack of obedience to authority. Whatever that authority is, in this case the authority is God. It can also, maybe more metaphorically, operate on what we might describe as a kind of narcissism. Whatever I want, whatever I think is right, whatever is in effect my self-interest, because those tend to align, being oblivious to the impact upon people around me. There's a metaphor given about the person who rents a room on a ship, and during the voyage he takes out his drill and he starts drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat, and someone says, what are you doing? He says, well, I rented this room, it's just my room. So sometimes our actions have impact upon broader people, but we can be so focused on ourselves. Both of these strains of thought, I think, are dominant in American culture, both on the right and the left. The sense of I am entitled to do whatever I want, regardless of the impact upon others. It's the idea that I don't have to appeal to authority. And what one finds on both extremes, maybe you have this in the middle too, is the sense that, of course, there's no I'm not bound to authority, but other people are. Or another way of saying it, well, when it comes to certain causes, I believe the government should stay out of it. And when it comes to other causes, I want to impose my opinions upon everybody else. And it exists on both sides of the spectrum. And the truth is, it's not a surprise is that if you don't feel bound to some particular broader value system, whatever that might be, that you make up one on your own. It's typical of American religion, by the way. It's what the sociologists term Sheilaism. Not necessarily always in a noxious way, but fundamentally, it's whatever I see fit. The second kind that I described, the question of focus on the self, as opposed to the lack of obedience and authority, is the one that actually interests me more. You can have people who don't respect authority or feel they don't want to be bound by a particular authority, but they can be very focused on others. They can be very giving, they can dedicate their lives to others, but they don't feel bound by one of the particular structures of authority that we have. I'm more interested in thinking for a moment about the extreme focus on self. Rus says to Naomi when she asks her, she comes back with quite a haul. She says, where were you? And she says, Shem ha'ish asher asisi imo hayom boaz. The person with whom I did today was Boaz. And the formulation is very odd and it caught Chazal's attention. What do you mean, asher asisi imo boaz? Boaz was the one who did the time. And the explanation offered is that when you have a person who is gomel chesed, and the person who's a recipient of chesed, the one who actually gets more is the giver. The giver is in effect receiving more than the recipient. And thus it is Shem Ha'ish Asher Asis Im Hayom Boaz. Viktor Frankl, in his very famous work, Man's Search for Meaning, talks about how, generally speaking, obviously there were people, it didn't matter what they did, they were murdered by the Nazis. But in terms of people who made it and didn't make it, so his perception was that the people who had something to live for, we might say people who had meaning in their lives, something they were going to do that they wanted to do, were much more likely to survive, as opposed to the people who could not construct that meaning in the depths of Auschwitz. And his whole approach to, I guess, therapy was based upon this idea. I mean, I would say it's not the typical approach now, but for me, it resonates very, very deeply that the way we live is by finding meaning in life, things to live for. And it's one of the challenges when people get old and retire, or when they retire, then if they get old, is that all of a sudden they find themselves that they don't have a purpose. They get up in the morning, they don't have something they're getting up for. I think that probably is the real meaning behind the Mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, which is not part of the Mishnah, but it's added in the Gemara, the difference between Baalei Manios and the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham, and there are Baalei Manios also, principle, also have things to do if they ever retire. But a person who is a committed religious individual, genuinely, a lot of people in a lot of religious communities are not, but a person whose rhythms of their life in many ways are dictated by serving God, there's always a reason to get up in the morning. There's a purpose in life, there's meaning in life. But meaning is essential. And what I think Chazal tell us in their comment about Rus is that the way one achieves meaning in life is not focusing on oneself, but focusing on others. It's true in Inani Mimili, yeah. But Manila Atsmi, yeah. If a person is focused only on oneself, you don't have anything in life. You're nobody. And it's odd, it's counterintuitive, because you would think in our culture that the obsession of focus on self with social media and all related phenomena, that that's what makes you somebody. But in fact, you're fundamentally nobody. I suspect that this is not the entire explanation, but it is part of the explanation when you look at the entertainment industry, you look at the epidemic of mental health issues amongst people there, and sometimes it may be who gets attracted to it in the first place. But the incessant need for attention, focus on oneself, I think is deeply damaging to us. And as much as I doubt that any of us are on that extreme, it still infects the way we sometimes think. We can, and some of it is demanded of us, because in this day and age, you know, if you're going, even the things that used to be that way, you know, if you're going to medical school, once upon a time, you submitted your scores, you wrote an essay, it wasn't having to sell yourself in the way you have to do now. And if you work in any kind of business, everything is about building one's own brand, which I feel bad because sometimes it's necessary, that's where we've come, but the intense focus on self can be very damaging. I remember many years ago sitting for an honors interview with someone from Missions doing an honors interview with a potential honors student. And I realized that we were pushing kids that you have to say what we want, pushing them to talk about themselves, which in a weird way is the opposite of what we normally want from a religious perspective. It's not to talk about yourself, to be a tzanua. But here, you're putting, it's not a criticism, it's just a difficult, for me it was a dissonance, of asking someone to put themselves out there. But the focus on self, the b'shirusli b'eleich, can be potentially very damaging. I would tell you that if you figure out a way, figure out a life of doing for others, that will fill your life with meaning. But if you spend your life on doing for yourself, it will fill your life with emptiness. The trait of Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the way Chazal described it, like David HaMelech in the Gemara in Yevamah, says, Baishanim, Rachmanim, and Gomle Chasadim. Those are actually not the same kinds of character traits. They divide. A Baishan is someone who has a sense of shame, a sense of modesty, is someone who doesn't want to be out there. And Rachmanim and Gomle Chasadim are people who are focused on others. I was reading recently, in the last couple of days, I don't remember the name of the person, it was an article about a prominent Christian, I don't know, thinker, he's an evangelical, he's probably a little over 70 now, and he grew up, he said, as extremely racist. He was a kid, he grew up probably somewhere in the South, And he talks about his journey. His journey happened when he was young, but it didn't happen when he was 16. And he talks about one incident. There were a couple of things that really did it for him, but he remembers going to a rally where there was some speaker, you know, probably talking about racism, segregation, advocating it. And then, I don't know why, there were some blacks in the crowd, and people all of a sudden started attacking him. Everybody was cheering on. And when he watched that, as someone who had grown up, there was something that troubled him about it. It's something that struck a chord in him. And when you think about the two different kinds of reactions, the people who see this and they cheer it on, versus the person who looks at this and says, something's not right, is the difference between someone who's looking on and who doesn't see the other person. They're thinking about themselves. They cheer on the crowd because they want to be part of something. It's about them. The person who looked at that, this eventual pastor, thinker, who looked at that, saw someone, and it wasn't about himself. It was about the other human being. He looked at this and he saw a human being being attacked. Then despite all the ideology been taught, there's something that didn't sit well with him, which was part of starting the journey. And I think that that is really the key to what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Being an Eved Hashem means we're not focused on ourselves, we're focused on God. And a significant part of that component is not just mitzvah ben adam l'makom, but mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. But it means to construct our lives in whatever our chosen profession is, and maybe it should have an impact on our chosen profession is, what is it going to do for others? It may put food on my table, which might be for my family, but also me. But what is it going, what is the impact upon others? What am I going to do in this world that's not only going to be for myself, but will actually make a different world for other people? In the Parsha, the Torah speaks about, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about, the person who goes b'shri wisli bo. And the continued description is that God gets very angry, and it's scorched earth like Sodom and Amorah. But I might say that in truth, you don't really need God to go scorched earth, because the person who lives b'shri wisli bo has already hollowed out his or her life. And so as we approach Yom HaNoraim, and we approach the Ribono Shel Olam as a community, but also fundamentally as a chidah, it really is an opportunity to take stock of who we are, mi ani. We'll say me'anu mechayenu in the Vidui. It has different kinds of meanings. But I think one of the meanings is, who are we? What is our life for? Is our life for us? Is our life to give in service of everybody else? I'd like to wish all of you a ksiva chasiva tova, a good next year, a successful year, one successful in school, successful in any endeavors in life and the things that you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be memalei nishavos libchem and libenu l'tova. Sometimes we want things that aren't good for us, but you should, things that you should want should be good for you. Those things should be granted. And I look forward to continuing learning throughout the year.